You know, this is a time that I really enjoy coming up here and being able to strengthen my knowledge in the gospel and in the Bible through the word that God has given us. And it's really fun to get up here and do these because it helps with my public speaking as well. And so I want to make this kind of a shorter discussion with you because I only have really one point broken down into three categories that I want to focus on tonight. And that is family. This time that we are in, this winter season of holidays and joy and cheer and the new year, really it brings people together and it brings a lot of joy out. And I think that sometimes people tend to focus on the gifts. You know, you have to purchase this many gifts and you have to, you know, wrap them and get them ready for December. And, you know, you have to get all these parties set up. And it's really easy to lose sight of what's truly important. And I believe that is family and the coming together and joy. Because people come from all over just to meet. And so I want to break it down into three categories, like I said. I want to break it down into family, your physical family, your spiritual family, and your heavenly family. Your heavenly family being your Father, God up in heaven, and your spiritual family being your congregation, your brothers and sisters in Christ, just so that's clear. So first of all, I want to start out with your physical family. So would you please open your Bibles with me over to the book of Ephesians. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, we're going to be looking at some things that Paul is saying to the Ephesians there about family relationships and how they ought to be living as families. So, starting in verse 1 of chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And so when you think about a biological family, you know, you have your siblings, you have your mother, you have your father. That's what I want to focus on right now. I don't want to think about cousins or, you know, distant relatives. Okay. So with that, I want to look at the end of verse 4. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's something that I feel has been lost in some families, and that is something that's so important to learn from a young age, because without that direction of God and Christ in your life, it can be really easy to go astray from that path. And so having that Christian support and having that Christian mindset when growing up can really help bring you into the Christian you should be as an adult. And so, thinking more generally, so you have your biological family and the support that they give you, and then if you are being brought up in that Christian home, in that Christian family, then you are going to a Christian church, and you have your Christian brothers and sisters, and those are people that can really help you too, and are very supportive as well. Just 1 second. There we go. So please turn with me over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, please, to chapter 5. I want to think about the fact that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to uplift each other, to encourage each other, to make sure that we are all together as a church, as the body of Christ. And so in verse 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men." And so when we have, always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. It's really easy to, I feel, get into a cycle, a weekly cycle, to whether your Monday starts with going to school, going to work, or, you know, watering your garden, whatever. If it is just you're stuck in a rut, you're doing the same things, you go to Sundays, you go on Sunday to your church and you're doing the same thing where you just sit in the pew and you don't listen, or on Wednesdays, you know, you go to your Bible study and then throughout the week you don't really think about God, and then you just get stuck in that rut where you're sitting next to the same people, not ever strengthening your knowledge in Christ, never you know, growing those relationships that you have, it could be really easy for somebody to fall away from the church like that, because you aren't you're not helping each other by lifting each other up like this this verse says. And it also says, encourage the faint-hearted. And so whatever that means to you, whether that is you know, talking to them after services, picking them up before services, or whatever that may be, having a Bible study, either, you know, on a day that we don't have services, it can be really uplifting and encouraging to those people around you. And so we want to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want them to reach that end goal just like we want to reach that end goal of being with our God, our Father in heaven. And so turn with me to James chapter 1. As we think about that idea of reaching the end goal of heaven, you know, going to God, being with God, that unchanging God, that loving God who will always be there for us, who we need to appreciate. Where am I? James chapter 1. In the book of James chapter 1, starting with verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. And so, he is an unchanging God. I did a whole lesson like this on what God has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he will do for us. And I think I want to bring those concepts back. He will never change. You look at the Old Testament with the Israelites and the Jews. He never abandoned them. He never betrayed them. He always was truthful. Even with the New Testament, the disciples, the apostles, he was truthful to them also. And he's truthful with us, and he's honest with us, and he gives us his word so that we can follow and be better servants for him. So as I kind of wrap this up, I want you to leave here with the idea that you have so much to be thankful for in this life. You have so many things that are going right for you, especially if you are right here in this church. So my last thought I want to bring up is in 1 Peter. Please turn with me to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2. This will be our kind of closing thought. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so, as we go into that marvelous light that he has given us, as we look towards our Creator, our God, our Father, that deity who created us and is looking after us, let's remember not to take that for granted and for just for granted. If you feel like you have been taking him for granted, if you feel like you aren't doing what you are supposed to be doing to reach that end goal of heaven, please stand up and come forward as we sing our final song, Anywhere with Jesus.